Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Quarter Two 2006 Financial Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Hello, everyone. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued August 2nd, 2006, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business, Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. With the legal gobbledygook done, I'd like to now pass the meeting over to our chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Hopefully, that's the end of the gobbledygook. Good morning, everybody. It's Steven Dean. I'm the chairman of the company. Pleased to report to our shareholders and investors a net earnings for the Q2 2006 period of $12.44 million, substantially higher than the Q2 2005, principally due to higher copper prices, but also attributable to lower operating costs and moly byproduct credits. That results in an earnings per share of approximately $0.132, compared to $0.06 in Q2 2005. Cash flow for the same period, Q2 2006, was $10.2 million, compared to $2.2 million in the corresponding previous period. $10.2 million, those of you who follow the difference between earnings and cash flow, $10.2 million is obviously lower than the $12.44 million that we reported earnings. That's because the cash flow from operations convention for accounting purposes adjusts for working capital differences. That working capital difference is larger due to an increase in accounts receivable, which relates to higher metal sales during that quarter, high-value metal sales during that quarter, and most of which, by the way, have been received since the end of the quarter in July and August. Production was 6.57 million pounds. That was below our previous corresponding period, principally due to the disruptions that we've reported during the quarter from El Teniente and the difficulties that they have had in supplying us with both fresh tailings as well as the constraints they've placed upon us on our recovery of Colihue material. However, moly production was significantly stronger than the previous corresponding period, 203,000 pounds, and that, of course, is also enjoying a strong price of around the $25 mark per pound. Gross copper selling price was $4.15 a pound compared to the LME $3.27. That's the function largely of settlement adjustments arising from a rising copper price from Q1 to Q2, and the additional above the LME price relates to the capturing of settlement gains from Q1 as the copper price rose into Q2 because, of course, we, like most copper, well, pretty much all copper producers, we sell on the basis of an LME plus three, which means its final price is 3 months from the date of delivery. That, of course, has a double-edged sword, the other side of that sword being that in declining copper price environment, that selling price received. The realized copper price was $3.52 during that period, being those deliveries that were realized and priced. Cash costs were 90 cents a pound compared to 59 cents a pound, and I'll talk a little bit about what that is in a moment and what that represents. Principally lower copper production due to the constraints El Teniente have put on it and the difficulties that they've had with environmental issues. Total cost for $1.50 a pound. I'll also talk a little bit more about that in detail in a moment, because I think it's important to understand that a significant proportion of those total costs are variable costs, and the principal components of that variable cost are smelter and refinery costs, which include a price participation component, as well as the royalty we pay to Teniente for the rights to treat this material. The capital expenditures during the year, during the quarter, I should say, principally relate to the construction and development of two thickeners, which are designed to increase the percentage of solids in our tail as we send it away back to Teniente, and they deal with it in their current tailings dam by environmental regulations that will be effective in September 2006 in Chile. There will be certain requirements that we will need to meet, and hence the construction of those thickeners. CapEx during the quarter was $5.8 million, and apart from timing differences, was substantially funded from operating cash flow. Our cash at the end of the year, end of the quarter, I should say, is just under $19 million, after $5.8 million of CapEx and a $3.6 million dividend paid in that quarter, which was declared in February. We also increased our stake in Chariot Resources to approximately 17% of the issued outstanding capital, including the warrants that we hold, by $1 million. Finally, it is with great pleasure that we confirm the continuance of our semi-annual dividend policy, and we've declared again a 4.5 cent per share dividend, which is payable on September 1 for shareholders of record as of August 18, 2006. That's an overview. I'd like to take the opportunity to just talk a little bit about costs and explain some background of those. I should have also mentioned that, I apologize, Klaus, that Dr. Zeitler, the president of the company, is also on the line. He's actually on vacation this week, but he's called in and will be on the line to assist in dealing with questions. Klaus, are you on the line?
Yep.
Thank you. In the MD&A that we released to the market, this quarter we took the initiative of breaking down some of the components of costs, and we did so for the period from Q2 2005 to Q2 2006. The first line, and I'll talk about Q2 2006 line, the column primarily. The copper and moly production line is $1.24 per pound, but that of course includes substantial component of costs attributable to production of moly, both our own moly as well as the toll treated moly from Chuquicamata. They are the costs that we are responsible for, and we will do our best to manage and keep as a minimum. There are a series of other costs that I'll talk to in a moment that are not within our control, as much as we would like them to be, but I want to bring focus to those costs that are within our control. Copper and moly production costs, as I said, are. The admin and transportation costs similarly are our responsibility in terms of keeping them to a minimum. The smelter and refining, I'm sorry, the byproduct credits of 99 cents, I should mention, are the credits from the sale of moly. It's just worthwhile noting that the net costs that we are able to manage and minimize with our management group total about 33 cents a pound after byproduct credits, which makes us a pretty low operating production cost company. The other component, which takes us up to 90 cents, is the smelter and refinery cost of 57 cents a pound. That includes, as you can see, from Q2 2005 through to the Q2 2006, that's increased steadily, and that increase is exclusively related to the standard price participation formulas that all smelters negotiate at the moment for the treatment of concentrates. As those who follow the sector would know, that component has become quite a controversial element of negotiations for the 2007 TCRC negotiations, and the negotiations deal with A, whether there should be a participation, and B, to what extent and what level does that participation cut in other words, at what price, and thirdly, what the percentage of that participation is. And a number of the senior companies, senior copper producers like BHP and Phelps and others are pushing hard to reduce that component, because they argue, and we agree, that they are not profits intended or ever dreamt of in terms of the level of participation by smelters and refiners. With the increase in smelting and refining production, principally in China, most industry analysts are forecasting a strong tightening of concentrate supply versus demand from smelters because of the increase in worldwide capacity. So we would expect to see over the next couple of years that smelter and refinery costs to decrease substantially as the competitiveness for concentrate and competition for concentrate increases. Fortunately, that's not one that we have a lot of control over. It's a market one, and we as a relatively small producer follow the other major producers in terms of the pricing of that negotiation. The final comment I would make is that one should not make a direct comparison with other quoted smelter and refinery costs by copper producers which produce, which export their concentrate outside of the country, because our number relates to a negotiation with a local refinery and smelter, which includes a component which we call a sharing of the freight costs. And in the last 2 years, 3 years, the freight costs of getting concentrate from, say, Chile or Peru or North America to Japan or China, where the major smelting and refining facilities are, for example, is an add-on cost in most producers' cases. Not in our case, because we don't ship it. So our agreement with Enami says that we share the benefits of not having to ship this material. So there is a component of freight that is in that smelter and refinery which you need to adjust if you were to make a direct comparison with other copper producers who export their concentrate overseas. Of course, it's not just freight. There's warehousing and port management costs and a number of other things. It's not just the freight number. Moving now to total costs. And once again, I want to draw your attention to a component that is unfortunately not in our management control, but is just part and parcel of our cost structure, is the El Teniente royalty. That's a significant component, 53 cents of the $1.50 total cost. The important thing to remember there is that this cost is a variable cost. And we look at it in many ways as effectively a mining cost, because it's what we pay for the delivery to our doorstep of the material we treat in order to extract the copper. So it's like a mining cost, but it's a cost we in fact pay to El Teniente, our partner in our MVC business. That number diminishes on fresh tailings to zero at copper prices at 80 cents and lower. Now, we don't anticipate that we're going to see that for some time, but the point to be made here is that even if it lowers to, even the copper price falls to the average analyst long-term price of, say, $1.20, that Teniente royalty will reduce significantly as a result of that, and so therefore we have almost a variable mining cost in respect to our material that we recover the copper from. That's all I wanted to say in relation to the breakdown of the costs and in our effort to give greater clarity and transparency to these numbers. We've, as I said, provided these additional numbers on a historical basis in order to get a better sense of what's happening and where the costs are and what costs are within our control and what costs are outside of our control. At this point, I'd like to throw the call open to questions. The quarter was, of course, as we made several news releases on during the Q2 period, was largely impacted by an environmental incident which involved the uncontrolled release of material, principally water, but it had other metals in it as a result of an environmental incident at the Karen Dam, which is the current operative dam for El Teniente, and it's where our tail ultimately is sent directly from our plant after we treat it again for production, for recovery of copper and moly. That resulted in a complete shutdown for a period, and it has also resulted in a constraint on our recovery of tailings from Collingwood. In order to get a better sense of this issue, it's important to appreciate the changing regulatory environment and the scrutiny that the government in Chile and the Environment Department particularly is applying to all miners in Chile, but more particularly to Codelco, the state-owned copper producer and miner and smelter and refiner. And this incident has unfortunately brought much attention to El Teniente, and as a result, they are being extremely cautious in respect of any matter that may have an environmental impact, and of course, very cautious in their in what they do themselves operationally, but also what they agree with us in terms of resumption of normal operations. To get a sense of the high level of this incident reached the front page of El Mercurio, the biggest newspaper in Chile, daily newspaper in Chile. And it's very much on people's minds and the government's focus. So we unfortunately are on the back end of that, and it's an issue that is a very sensitive one, but it does have a direct impact on our operations. Unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do as management to move that along because of the high profile and sensitivity of the issues related to environment for Codelco. Happy to answer any questions now. As I said, Klaus is on the line. We have our CFO, Aurora Davison, and our Corporate Secretary and General Counsel, Mike Cooter, also here. Operator, can we open the line to questions, please?
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset and then press star 1. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound key. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Nicholas Campbell in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just have a quick question. I'm wondering if you can just remind me what your production guidance is for 2006.
Going on to that.
Well, as Stephen was mentioning just now, due to these environmental difficulties Codelco has, and which, of course, extend to our operation, it's difficult to say when we will come to a position to be able to fully produce from Colibas again. And that, of course, will have significant effect on our production. So as we have said in our press release, we think that our production will be higher than last year, but at this point it is very difficult to project what it will actually be.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say, Klaus, also that we are in a position now with our monitoring equipment and our submersible miner to ramp up production very quickly. There's no operational plant or other reason why we couldn't ramp up from Colibas very quickly as soon as we get Teniente's approval to do so.
And you're still maintaining your sort of longer term guidance, 60 million pounds of copper a year and 1 million pounds of moly by the end of 2007?
Yes.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Shulton in Dallas. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and nice quarter, guys. I have a question about the investment in Chariot and. More specifically, why would you choose to expend the company's cash on something like that rather than repurchasing your shares given the free cash flow yield on your stock?
Well, as we've reported, we have been buying our own stock back, albeit in relatively modest proportions. It's a question of our view of relative value and our view of the potential of Chariot. Chariot's been an exceptionally strong performer. Our average, our bulk of our purchase of that stock was at 41 cents, and the stock's trading, I think, today at 56, 57 cents. So not as though we haven't done well on Chariot. Our Chariot investment as well. Most analysts have that stock also valued at significantly higher than the current market price.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Bart Jaworski in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys, and congratulations on the quarter.
Thanks, Bart.
Just wondering, can you tell me what the copper settlement adjustments for the quarter were?
Yeah, they're about from the adjustments from Q1 into Q2. In other words, the adjustments related to Q1 deliveries that were crystallized in Q2 were about $1 a pound of the total gross copper selling price, or about $6 million.
Okay. And just setting the environmental issues aside, as pertaining to Colibas, let's just assume that they give you the authorization today. How do things look there from your perspective in terms of ramping up with the underwater miner, the hydraulic monitors, et cetera?
Well, the monitor system is ready, you know, to go. So we could start there in a, you know, within days after the authorization, and we are also right now putting just sort of the final work on the underwater miner. So we expect to have the underwater miner attached to a barge, which we have built in the meantime, also ready to operate as soon as we can get this authorization again. I would like, however, to caution, as Stephen said, this environmental issue has had a really important impact on the way El Teniente and Codelco is operating. Even though we have made all kind of representations and have written letters and have spoken to El Teniente, we have up to now not been able to convince them that they should give us the authority to restart operations in Colibas. So, as I said, I'd just like to caution that this is not something which we expect at this time to come within a matter of days.
Klaus, I think it's worthwhile pointing out too that there is not a lot of logic in their constraints on us right now. It's just that they are very cautious about anything to do with the management of their tailings.
That is right, and that's why we have, in the meantime, taken additional measures since we were up to now not able to convince them to allow us to restart again. We have taken additional measures, and we have engaged a consulting group which has worked for El Teniente and for Codelco, and which is in very high esteem both at headquarters in Codelco and at El Teniente, and is a respected company by the environmental authorities. And we have asked them to do a study, a chemical study and a metallurgical study, about the effects of working at Colibas and what that would do to the tailing stream, which would go into Karain, and then from Karain, what effect that would have on the discharge at Karain. This study is underway. It will certainly take a good month more to be done, and we hope and we believe that this study will be positive in so far that it will say that the effect is negligible, or even more so that the study may show a way how we as MVC can even help El Teniente to improve their environmental status, and so hopefully with the results of that study in hand, we will we will then have an additional weapon to convince El Teniente to rest assured that certainly from MVC's operations, negative environmental effects would come.
I think it's suffice to say that the introduction of these new environmental regulations are proving a challenge to a number of companies operating in Chile, but particularly to Teniente, and they are working very hard to meet to construct new plant and both at their concentrator and as well as at the tailings dam end to be in a position to comply. Having said that, I think the challenge is that the time is rushing headlong very quickly at them, and it's proving a challenge for them to meet the requirements. And one of the controversial aspects that's being written about in the newspapers in Chile is that Teniente had received special dispensation in respect to certain components of the environmental order. And the question is, why should they get those special dispensations? So once again, that gives you a flavor for the unfortunate position Teniente are in. Next question.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time for any questions or comments. The next question is from Bart Jarowski in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a follow-up on that, Stephen. So are you guys going to be doing more work at Coliwas to ramp up more production in advance of getting the authorization, or are you going to just put things to rest at this point and just wait for the authorization?
Well, I guess all the work is done. I mean, you know, there are some minimal things which have to be done once we can start operating, but if you talk in terms of investment, you know, that's all done.
So what's your throughput capacity at Coliwas now then? Expected to be?
If we would get authorization today to produce and put the tailings from Coliwas into the Londo going down to Corain, we would have capacity installed in the amount of a minimum of 15,000.
And what about your goal of getting up to 45,000 tons per day? Is that sort of plans for 07?
Well, you know, it depends, you know, when that authority comes forward that we can do that. I mean, we would then immediately expand the monitoring system. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, and then could you quickly comment on the moly grades that you've been receiving from the fresh tailings? Fairly consistent, obviously much better than you had in the first quarter.
Yeah, they have been much better, and but again, as I said in I think it was in the last conference call, you know, they vary, and it depends on, I guess, also where El Teniente is mining and what kind of ore mixture we get. But, you know, they can vary very significantly. And the same, of course, is true with the recovery.
And that can be a function of seasons as well, Carson. For example, the last, you know, they're in winter at the moment, of course. So the area has been subject to very high levels of precipitation at MVC as well as up on the mountain. How many feet of snow did they have at Teniente in the last month, Bob?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but for instance, the water level at Colibas increased by 3 to 4 meters in 2 days. So yeah, I mean, it was very exceptional amount of rain and snow in a very short period of time.
And that's impacted on Teniente production, is my point.
Yeah, on El Teniente production and also on the quality, for instance, of the tailings which we receive. At that point, we knew, for instance, that at one point El Teniente was very close to another environmental problem because they have a tailings pond up at the concentrator site, and that tailings pond almost overflowed, which would have been environmentally critical, and they were just centimeters away from that, and so they were pumping as much water from that tailings pond as they could in the launder, and that of course upset our metallurgical balance, pH values, and these kind of things.
Klaus, in terms of toll milling, is it correct to assume that you guys are mostly through that material now?
Toll milling, yes. Yeah.
And what's the prospects for continuing that when Chuqui gets back up and running?
Well, that's difficult to say. I mean, first question is, when will Chuqui get back? They are in a very difficult and serious situation. They are looking around in the world right now where they can get crushers, because it would take a long, long time to recover the underground crusher.
You might just take a moment to explain what we understand happened at Chuqui, and those who don't understand, don't appreciate it, but it's one of the world's top five copper producers, and they had a serious failure at that project.
Well, they have an in-pit crusher which has been put underground, and so they are delivering the ore from the open pit down to the bottom of the open pit into this crusher, which, as I said, was underground or is underground. It's really underground now. And from there, a conveyor belt brought the crushed ore to the top of the pit and on to the concentrator. And they had an accident with the cave. They had a cave in. And so with that...
Crush the crusher.
Sorry?
Crush the crusher.
Yeah, and the cave in, definitely crushed the conveyor system, and of course also makes the crusher, the crusher can't work. How bad the damage to the crusher is, we don't know. But all we have heard is that Chuqui is looking around the world for, I guess, most likely mobile crushers, which they would put into the pit and then start crushing in the pit till they can recover the underground crusher and repair it. So it's pretty uncertain when that production and to what extent that production will come back.
But once it is back, by answering your question, it would be our expectation that there would be some tonnage going forward. How much, we don't know.
Yeah.
I guess the last question is potentially constrained production growth now due to issues here at Caliwes. Are you guys doing anything to increase growth elsewhere, or looking at other opportunities?
Well, yes is the short answer. There is the potential. We look at other projects in Chile and Peru and Latin America. As we've said several times, now is not a a great time to be buying new projects for cash because everyone's using $3.60 long-term copper price in their selling price calculation. So it's difficult, as all copper producers would find right now, to find undervalued assets, and that's why we think we did well in identifying Chariot. But there are other potentials, as we've mentioned before. It's possible that Chuki could be interested in doing something with their in situ, and maybe fresh, but probably in situ tailings. Rest assured, we are in a box seat to pursue that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Dean.
Thanks, operator. Thanks again for listening in to the call. Financially, it was an outstanding result and just demonstrates the true earnings potential of Amerigo's operations, even when it was constrained by production incidents that were not within its control. I think whilst we have spent a bit of time on this call talking about the negatives of our partnership with El Teniente, it's easy to overlook the positives. And those positives are that there is no other company that is a copper producer of Amerigo's size that has the sort of mine life, because of our partnership and symbiotic relationship effectively with one of the largest copper mines in the world and the biggest copper deposit in the world. We've got a very long life operation. We've invested significant capital, which by the end of this year will be largely complete. We'll be in a great position to capitalize on the resumption of operations and extraction from Caliwes. Our cash costs are good. Our moly byproduct and the outlook for moly specifically, as many industry experts like Phelps Dodge and others have said, the outlook for moly is continuing to be strong. Our financial performance, regardless almost of our production constraints, will be very, very strong. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all shareholders for their continued support and spend your dividend wisely. Thank you. Thanks, operator.
Thank you, sir. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation, and have a great day.